dream is always the same. Instead of going home, I go to the neighbor's. I ring, but nobody answers. The door is open, so I go inside. I'm looking around for the people, but nobody seems to be there. And then I hear the shower running, so I go upstairs to see what's what. Then I see her, this girl, this incredible girl. I mean, what's she doing there? I don't know, because she doesn't live there. But it's a dream, so I go with it. "Who's there?" she says. "Scott," I say. "What are you doing here?" "I don't know what I'm doing here. What are you doing here?" "I'm taking a shower," she says. Then I give her, "Do you want me to go?" "No," she says. "I want you to create a podcast." So now I'm getting pretty enthusiastic about this dream. So I go to her, but she's hard to find through all the steam and stuff. I keep losing her. Finally, I get to the door of the shower, and it's Matt Coma. And I realize that we should have started this podcast 3 hours ago. I've got only 2 minutes to create this whole thing. I've just made a terrible mistake. I'll never get to South Ridgefield. My life is ruined.
You're listening to the South Ridgefield Podcast Show with your host, Scott Luther, and Matt Coma. Take it away, boys. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the South Ridgefield Power Hour. Yes, this is our new podcast format, and I would be
remiss.
I would be remiss if I did not mention our new co-host. You all know him from Revere High School and the University of Toledo and the Lucas County Engineering Department. Yes, it's Matt Coma. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you, Scott. Glad to be here with you.
It's great to have a co-host. I've been talking to myself on these podcasts for months now. But doing a fantasy football podcast is one thing. I can just rattle off stats and review the games. A power hour like this, we have a lot of different topics to talk about. And I cannot just talk about, banjo picking for an hour straight.
Yeah, that would be a little on the dry side.
So, welcome to the podcast. Just a quick update. Today is Thursday, April 14th, and big news out of the NFL today was that the Tennessee Titans traded the first overall selection in the 2016 NFL draft to the Los Angeles Rams, and they got 6 picks, 2 first rounds, 2 second rounds, and 2 third rounds, if I'm not mistaken. They had to send some picks back. The Rams with their later round picks, or back to the Titans, but their later round picks.
Right, so, I think it was a first, a fourth, and a sixth.
Yeah. So, what do you think about this, Matt? Does this screw up any of the Cleveland Browns' plans for drafting a quarterback with the number 2 pick?
Well, I think it certainly does. Obviously, the Rams are in love with whoever it is they're going to be going for. And I kind of think it's really interesting, maybe from a cosmic karma sense, because the Titans did to the Rams what the Rams did to the Washington Redskins when the Redskins traded up to get RG3, who is now on the Browns, as their quarterback. So the whole thing is kind of coming full circle. And I think that the consensus seems to be that the Rams are looking at Carson Wentz. And obviously that's what the pick that the Browns wanted to go for as well. So that being the case, I think the Browns are going to be looking to trade out of their spot as well.
Yeah, I agree. The one thing that the Browns have going for them is if they do select a quarterback with this number 2 pick, they're just going to take whoever's left. They cannot get blamed for selecting the wrong quarterback. They're going to have one choice at quarterback now. It's either going to be Goff or Wentz.
Right.
And depending on the article you read, I mean, I read today that the Rams were interested in Goff, so the Browns would be stuck with Wentz. But like you just said, you probably read some stuff that Wentz was the Rams' favorite. And it's interesting that you bring up, you know, the RG3 thing. You have to remember back in, when was it, 2011, when that happened? Maybe 2010? I think it was 11. They had Sam Bradford slotted as their quarterback of the future in St. Louis. They were not looking for a quarterback at all. So it is, it's almost the same exact situation. The Titans have Mariota now. They probably think they're set. Hopefully, you know, he has a good career, doesn't get injured like Bradford did. And maybe this trade will work out for both the Titans and the Rams.
I think the Titans are set up for the future in just an amazing way. There's a lot of talent that's not in the skilled positions necessarily in this draft, it seems to me. With that, I was hoping if the Browns don't go after Wentz, if the Rams take Goff, or if their quarterback of choice is not there, what other guys would you like to see them pick?
Well, they're going to need some help in the secondary. I think, you know, at the cornerback position and safety position, they obviously need help just about everywhere now.
The offensive line. You're right, they can't go wrong.
Right. I mean, it would make sense for them to stockpile some picks. I was actually talking to one of our former classmates this evening about this, and he was bummed out about the developments and thought, you know, he's like, the Browns had better not trade these picks away. I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if they do. I wouldn't be surprised by anything. He's of the belief that you just take that quarterback now, so it's no longer a question mark.
You know, I look at that and I say, these two guys, Goff was a little bit more highly touted coming out for this last year. Wentz, out of nowhere, he crops up. You know, they may be great players, but are they going to fit with what Hugh Jackson wants to do? And unless you're absolutely in love with one of these guys, not talking yourself into love about them, but absolutely in love, then I think, as you mentioned earlier, there's so many holes in the Browns team, in the roster, up and down. They could pick anybody. They could look at another tackle to play opposite of Joe Thomas. I think, like you mentioned, the secondary, Ramsey, everybody says that he's absolutely the best athlete by far. But the guy that I'm hoping that they go after is Miles Jack out of UCLA. I look at him as potentially what Khalil Mack is now for the Raiders, but maybe even more specific, what Patrick Willis used to be for the San Francisco 49ers. Just a solid playmaker, very versatile player, right in the middle.
Yeah, and looking at the offseason moves the Browns have made, it almost seems like they're angling for possibly trading this pick. I mean, they were 3-13 last year. They're not expecting to go anywhere this season. They bring in RG3. They probably want to kick the tires on them. If sure. They're bad, they're going to be in a good position next year where they can possibly select Deshaun Watson from Clemson.
There's the guy.
And is he a bigger upside than either Wentz or Goff?
Yeah, that's the thing you have to look at, too. Okay, you have the Clemson quarterback. There's going to be other quarterbacks that have tremendous years. And there's other guys that are out there right now, sophomores or juniors, that they should be eyeing. And neither one of these guys, to me, lit the world on fire this year. So I do hope that they trade and stockpile picks. You know, you look at the really great franchises and what they do year after year after year. They're either trading down or they're picking low. So they have, they have a great scout system in place. I think the Browns have showed since 1999 that has not been the case. But if you stockpile picks, you have more chances of hitting that bullseye with your eyes closed.
I agree.
And cheaper.
So where are you going to settle? What do you think they're going to do? Are they going to draft someone like Jack? Are they going to select their future franchise quarterback or are they going to trade?
I do think that they are going to go after a quarterback because it's the Browns. You bring in a high-dollar guy. Well, not high-dollar anymore, I guess, but what, $11 million? You're bringing in RG3. You have other quarterbacks on your team right now. Connor Shaw hasn't even had an opportunity to play. Not saying that he's even a chance in the future, but you have guys there that can play. McCown has shown when he's healthy, he's serviceable. So if they had any thought towards the future versus getting the right guy right now, or their guy right now, I think if they're looking at the future, they have to build that team and continue to do so. Taking a flyer, and that's what I think it is, a flyer on one of these guys, is throwing away a potential for other guys that are slam dunks. Now, the guys could go off and have great careers, and it does seem that the Browns do have a track record of ruining young quarterbacks. So let's ruin the guys we have right now.
Well, Hugh Jackson hasn't had a chance to ruin anyone on the Browns yet. Let's hope he can develop some talent here in Cleveland.
You know, when you look at his system, where he's employed, obviously you look to Cincinnati. That's the system that they put in place. How would you describe that system?
Well, let's see. They had Andy Dalton. Did Jackson start when Dalton came on board?
He's been there for, I think, 3 years. So I think that's pretty much, well, most of Dalton's career, I think.
Yeah. I mean, Jackson run a very balanced offense, it seems to me. They've had success both running and throwing. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they can score points. I mean, it helps when you have A.J. Green also.
Right.
The Browns don't really have that receiver for their young quarterback, especially if Josh Gordon doesn't get back on the field, which I don't think that he's going to play for the Browns again.
No.
So, I mean, there's just so many holes. Really, the new regime probably are thinking, you know, they can't go wrong with anyone they pick because there are so many needs. You could argue for the linebacker, you could argue for the quarterback, but I think, you could even go with a lineman.
Sure.
Like Tunsil.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting. I honestly can't wait for the draft. Some of these mock drafts also have the Rams not even picking a quarterback. Could the Rams have done the Browns a favor by taking that number one overall pick, bypassing a quarterback, and letting the Browns then have to make a choice between Goff and Wentz and letting them fail that way? It'll be interesting to see what happens.
It will. You know, you got to look at the Rams, what they have in their plate. Moving to Los Angeles, I don't think they have to drum up excitement, but you want to have something that creates excitement. Can Case Keenum be that guy to create excitement? I don't think so. And, you know, they want to make a big splash. I think they're also going to be on Hard Knocks too, aren't they?
Yes, they are going to be on Hard Knocks this
year. All right, so that's one more reason why you think they take that marquee position as the first overall pick. I would be surprised if they did not take a quarterback. Shocked.
Yeah, it's kind of funny also that you bring up the Hard Knocks, because Fisher a few years ago did not want to be on Hard Knocks because I'm trying to remember the exact reason, but he was totally against it. Now with the franchise moving to Los Angeles, and now with them making this huge pick, I don't know if HBO already has cameras there.
Hmm.
That'd be interesting to see what was going down behind the scenes of this trade.
Yeah, that would be. You know, get inside their war room.
Right.
But, you know, the thing is, you look at both Fisher and I forget who their GM is, but Fisher's been there with the Rams for 4 years, and that's four losing seasons that he's had.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost like a Bengals coach track record. So I think he's got to make a splash with this pick too. So it's sort of like his big gamble. Can he save his career with taking, you know, a cornerback, Ramsey? Probably not likely. He probably can save his career, or excuse me, his job with taking that quarterback. And if that quarterback fails, well, Fisher's out anyway.
Right, right. So that'll be in 2 weeks from tonight. April 28th is the first round of the NFL draft. So I know I'll be glued to my TV set, and maybe we'll be doing a podcast after it. Who knows?
Maybe a live one.
Yeah, maybe a live one.
You know, the NFL draft for me is just like New Year's Eve. There's a whole lot of build up to it, and you think it's going to be this greatest thing, this blast, like the you can't wait. And then it's finally there, and you're in the middle of it, and you're going, where's the chips? Can I get another soda pop over here?
Well, I was.
It's a lot of build up for a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah, 2 years ago when they took Manziel, I was putting together a cabinet for our bathroom while I was watching TV, and Rachel came in as the pick was coming in. And she, you know, she doesn't follow football that closely, but she was very excited when the Browns took Manziel, because she said it's about time they did something to entertain us. So I don't know. Well, maybe I'll have to find something else to put together poorly before this year's draft, or maybe I shouldn't put together anything, and maybe we'll have some better luck. But honestly, I think people who who think the things they do bring luck or bad luck to their teams, I think they're all crazy.
Yes. But I will be wearing my Browns underoos. They only fit over one leg. Really, it's only over my left foot anymore.
Oh, man. I haven't seen you in a while. So how are things up there in Toledo?
Oh, they're lovely. It's a great place to raise a family here in Northwest Ohio, right on the Maumee River and the western basin of Lake Erie, where the microcystin blooms and poisons the water intake. But be that as it may,
it's those aside farmers.
From that, it's wonderful.
It's those farmers from BG.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up. The Maumee River, if we may digress, the Maumee River watershed is the largest in all of the Great Lakes region. It goes all the way to Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Yes.
And I think it's 6,000 square miles. And if it isn't, who's going to check me on it?
It's very impressive for such a, I mean, it's almost 6 feet deep in some places.
Yeah. But you're right. It's all farming, and it's all that fertilizer and all that nitrogen and phosphorus that's getting in the Maumee River. And it just sort of hangs out there in the western Lake Erie Basin, where it is shallow, and just cooks. You get water out there, temperatures up to 80 degrees. Unfortunately, it's the color of pea greens, of pea soup sometimes. But you take the good with the bad.
Right. Well,
just don't stay in contact with that for too long.
Well, you'll be thanking those farmers in a few months once mosquitoes that would have been in the Great Black Swamp are not there, because the farmers have drained all that swamp land, and you don't have to worry about Zika.
I don't want to get me no Zika.
We have enough problems.
Yes.
With small heads.
I got poison ivy.
Anyway. So back to news around here in Northeast
Ohio. Yeah, what's going on back home? You're Northeast Ohio.
I'm in Northeast Ohio. Richfield Elementary School is still sitting abandoned on 303. Mm-hmm. Nothing's happening. Someone did paint some satanic symbols on the front windows above that doorway. So
good.
My sister,
yeah, that's nice.
My sister is very upset. This happened months ago, but she was very upset about that and has offered to clean the windows, but nobody has heard her pleas.
Well, that was nice of her. You know, I do wonder, do they still have our records in there? Because I might need to go in there and pull my file. I'm worried about my permanent record and what it might do to my future.
Well, I don't think they're in there, but there is a library full of books, according to a dream I had a couple years ago, where I was in Richfield School, and there were paperback books still on those spin-around wire racks in the library, and they were very wet from open ceiling. So I would not want to go in there, even though that's probably not what's happening in the school. But my dream said it was.
Well, what could that mean?
I don't know. I haven't had a chance to consult my my dream journal.
Did you need to change your sheets when you woke up?
No. I think I was I think I was okay. I might have been driving at the time though when I fell asleep.
Say what now?
I might have been driving at the time when I fell asleep. I don't quite remember. So
wait, in your dream you fell asleep while you were driving? Or you were actually driving on the road and you fell asleep and had a dream?
I think the second. I think I was.
Oh my god! Where were you? On 77?
No, I think I was on 75 heading north towards Bowling Green.
Holy crap. It is a boring drive, so I can understand that.
You really could fall asleep for a while on a stretch of that highway between Cleveland and Toledo, or even from Toledo down to Dayton.
Yeah, and not know it.
Unless you're going through Ada, you have those turns there past that Pioneer Sugar Factory. If it's still there, even, I have no idea.
It is. That's in Findlay.
Oh, that's... No, I didn't think... No, I thought Pioneer Sugar was in Ada.
No, sir. Oh, Findlay.
Okay.
That's if you're heading towards... You hang a left at the Sugar Towers, head towards Columbus.
Okay.
You keep on going straight, you'd be in Dayton.
All right.
2 hours.
I it's been a long time since I've been to Findlay. It's been since 97. No, 98. Anyway. Not that we want to go there again.
F Findlay.
That's what it starts with.
That's right.
So
that's small talk on Sesame Street. F for Findlay.
Which is on HBO now.
It is?
Yeah, Sesame Street is now first run on HBO. And then it's shown later on PBS. It's another way that the Sesame Workshop is making money.
Well, good for them.
Yeah. I've only watched a little bit of the HBO version. Tyrion Lannister was doing the letter of the day.
Who's Tyrion Lannister? Is that from Game of Thrones?
Yeah. Obviously, you're not caught up in all the pop culture. Peter.
That was another thing I was hoping to get out of this podcast. Find out what's what. I have not seen one episode of Game of Thrones yet. Man. I know this guy who's got a DVD of season one, but some other guys borrowed it, and the other guy's kind of a... So he doesn't know if he's ever going to get the DVD back, and I keep waiting for the library to have it. Meanwhile, I've seen Paddington.
Which was a good movie.
Yeah. I really liked it. And The Good Dinosaur.
Oh, that's
great animation.
Movie.
Great. I cried a little bit, but I
It was a little sad. In fact, we saw it in a theater, obviously having children about the same age. We saw it in the theater, and then when the DVD came out, we had to go get it. So we did watch it just actually the weekend before last with my niece, whose mom told her that she heard it was stupid. So my sister heard it was stupid from someone. But then Grace formed her own opinion, thank goodness.
An independent young woman, yeah, that's what we need.
She did enjoy The Good Dinosaur with the boys. So
that Arlo and what was the boy? Spot?
Buck.
It was Buck?
Wait, which one? The boy? Oh, you meant the human boy.
The human boy, yeah.
Yeah, Spot.
Spot, yeah. They good team up.
Yeah, that was. And I loved when he would he ripped the head off the bug.
Yes. You know, the part that I didn't get was when he came across the three Tyrannosaurus Rex types that were driving the buffalo.
Right.
You know, I understand the story arc, and that kind of helps in the transition period and helps those guys help Arlo attain a sort of sense of his own ferocity and helping them him get over his fear by understanding that these big tough guys are fearful as well.
Right.
I understand that as the story arc, but why they didn't need him? You know, carnivore, herbivore.
Well, they had that.
Once that meeting.
They had that,
they had all the buffalo, yeah.
Exactly. And that's, I mean, I was thinking that too, honestly, watching the movie the first time. But I'm like, oh, they have all these, what were they calling them, though?
I'm trying to remember. Buffalosaurus? Little doggies? I don't know.
I don't remember either, but it was some other term for buffalo, and it wasn't Tatanka.
See, I think we got to get the Blu-ray and watch that and find out why.
Well, I have
why they had set up that way. You do?
I do. I'll see if there's any special features
All right. On
the Blu-ray. But yeah, I think I figured that, you know, they just didn't eat them because they had all this other these other resources. It was a good movie.
Yes. Yes.
Last night, I don't know if you've been following the NBA, Matt.
Yes, but big night for the NBA last night, yeah. Scott.
Kobe Bryant's last game as a Laker, obviously, because that's the only team he ever played for. He dropped 60 points on the Jazz. He did shoot 50 times, which, I mean, is so great. I think he was 22 for 50, if I'm not mistaken.
I think the crowd would have loved to have seen him shoot another 20. So
yeah, if he could have broke his 81 points that he scored against Toronto years ago, that would have been amazing. But it was a great way for Kobe to go out. Also, you have Golden State setting the record with 73 wins.
Which stadium would you rather have been in? Which arena would you rather have been in to see? The 73 wins or Kobe's last game?
Oh, I don't know. I don't really care for Oakland that much. I mean, I've never been there except flying over on my way to San Francisco. I guess I'd probably rather have gone to see Kobe.
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, even though, you know, what Curry and Thompson are doing beyond the three-point arc is amazing this season. 73 wins is nice, but until you win the championship, it really doesn't mean anything. Because remember when the Mariners won like 112 or 116 games?
Yeah.
And then they lost in five games to the Yankees in the playoffs. I mean, nobody talks about how great that Mariners team was. So in unless the Warriors back this up with a championship, it's going to be hollow.
Yeah, and I think even, you know, with that, that accomplishment is sort of not quite an asterisk, but sort of a, oh yeah, isn't that nice? A nice little icing on top of the cake, because it is really all about the championship. The NBA sells itself on stars and star players and star power, not necessarily on the team. And Kobe, other than LeBron, is there a bigger star right now? They're trying to build up Steph Curry, but those guys are more of a team, and they're playing great as a team. Amazing team basketball. Not quite the Spurs, but just a different kind of style of game that we've seen, I think, ever.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm with you. I'd rather have seen the last game of Kobe's career.
Now,
speaking of that, who do you think, if you were to rank them, the five greatest Lakers of all time?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because there's, you know, there's so many great Laker players throughout history. I mean, even just mentioning five, you're leaving at least a couple out. Because, I mean, you've got...
Because there's been more than five players, right?
Exactly. I mean,
you're always good at math.
I think there's been at least, like, 12 this season.
Something like that.
I mean, Larry Nance Jr. is up there, but... he may be the greatest basketball player ever to come out of the Revere School District, and he's a Laker, so we could say he's the greatest Revere alumni Laker player, and nobody could argue with you.
No, you're right. You know. You always want to set up an argument so that you can win it.
So I think I would have to
All right, why don't we both do this? We'll come up with a list here.
Okay.
And how do you want to do this? Start from five and work our way to the top?
Start from five.
All right.
All right.
How about you do your five, I'll do my five, then you do your four, I'll do my four.
That works perfect.
All right.
So my number five is going to be Jerry West.
Whoa. Okay. As a matter of fact, my number five is Jerry West, too. I imagine that our list will be quite similar.
They could very well.
Because maybe we went to the same website for our research. Now, why do you think this will be? Why do you think that Jerry West is number five?
Because there's four Lakers better than him.
Yes. We did go to the same website.
No. The website I went to did not have Jerry West as number five.
What?
No.
Oh.
I'm forming my own opinion.
Great, because I went to a number of different websites, and I kind of took an average, and I wrote down a bunch of things. That's what they call research, Scott.
All right.
Well, I had Jerry West, you know, like you said, there's many, many great Lakers, and the way I was kind of looking at this is all those teams and all the titles that they've had, trying to look at who were pivotal players on each one of those title runs that they've had, and with Jerry West, while he did only have one title, he was part of a lot of teams that made it to the finals. The one title coming in 72, but he did it with Wilt Chamberlain. Well, he won the title with Wilt Chamberlain, maybe more, against the New York Knicks. But Jerry West played in with Lakers in the 1969 finals. Lakers lost, but he was still the finals MVP. So he's got one title and one finals MVP, and I think 14 years with the Lakers. So winning, and I think he's the only player ever to win a finals MVP and be on the losing team.
I think you're right. I do remember hearing that. We could probably Google it.
Yes. So he's my number five.
All right.
Who do you have for number four?
This is tough. I mean, I'm going to have to go with Elgin Baylor.
Wow.
Kind of keep it old school.
Yes.
Elgin Baylor. You know, he was the NBA Rookie of the Year in 1959. He was an All-Star 11 times. And, you know, he averaged 27 points for his career, 13 rebounds, almost 5 assists. He actually also played in Minneapolis before the Lakers moved to Los Angeles. So he is my number four.
Oh, very good. I have Shaquille O'Neal as my number four. I have him in there. The thing about Shaquille O'Neal, he did play with a lot of different teams, but he's won a lot of different places.
Right.
But his time with the Lakers was the peak of his career. Three titles in a row, three NBA Finals MVPs, and he was absolutely dominant. The last great center that played. In that time when Michael Jordan was gone, he was the man. And really was the centerpiece of those three Laker championships.
I agree with you. Unfortunately, I have to leave him off my list just because I wanted to get Elgin on there.
I had Elgin in my honorable mention list.
I'm gonna have to put,
and it really, a lot of it is because the only time I've ever seen Elgin Baylor play was in some grainy highlights. I think it was either that or a snuff film. I'm not sure, but I think it was Elgin Baylor.
You're probably right.
But I have him in my honorable mentions.
All right. My third is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You know, he had six MVPs, six championships. Five of them were with LA. The other one was with Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he could probably still play.
Probably. He won the finals MVP in 1985 at the age of 38. It's all that yoga.
Yeah. And, you know.
Or was it yogurt? Well, probably both.
And, you know, when you see that skyhook, he was unstoppable with that shot.
Yeah. He was part of the theme for my top two picks. I had him at number two. He was a transformative player. He changed the position. My number three, Kobe Bryant. I have him down there with all his accolades, 20 years, five titles, two NBA Finals MVP, leads the franchise in points, games, steals, field goals, 3 points. and minutes. So I have him as my number three. I do think that 20 years down the road, his position will kind of go up. So maybe I'm being a little bit of an old grumpy man. So I said I had Kareem at number two. Who'd you have for number two?
I have Kobe at number two.
All right.
So obviously we know who's number one on this list for both of us. Wilt Chamberlain.
He's number one on a different list.
Now, obviously, we both have Magic Johnson.
Yes, Magic Johnson.
Magic Johnson.
Which could have been Wilt Chamberlain's nickname. But
is the greatest Laker of all time.
Five titles. Yep. Three NBA MVPs, three final MVPs.
And nine appearances. He also lost in the finals four times, so he got him there a bunch, too.
Yeah.
Those great Bird Laker, Bird Johnson battles. Mm-hmm. So he only played 13
I have him
years.
At number one, too. Back to that point, like we had mentioned about Kareem, he was a transformative player. Changed the position. A 6'9 guard, could play any position, and really brought the game, along with Larry Bird, from being a finals replay at 11:30 at night on Saturday to being must-see TV.
Right. I mean, they transformed the NBA, because I remember as a kid, the only person watching basketball was my uncle, who was a bachelor, and, nobody really talked about basketball that much. And then when, Johnson and Bird got in the league and Dr. J, that's when it really took off.
Yeah, most definitely. I remember being a fan of Dr. J because his name was Dr. J, when I'm 5 years old in 1977. And, he was a great player, but you never really saw highlights or anything, but you just saw this guy on the news. I forget who the sportscaster was. I don't think it was Casey. What was his name? Coleman.
Casey.
I was going to say Casey.
Casey Coleman, yeah.
Casey Coleman, from
Channel 8.
Right. But, you'd see a highlight here or there. But mostly I knew him from, there was an ad with him and Jerry West on the back of my Spider-Man comic books from the 70s that I remember seeing them. It was Man Thing, I think is what it was.
What was it?
Which also could have been Wilt Chamberlain's nickname. But
Man Thing?
Yeah.
That was a comic book?
Yeah, it was a Marvel comic. It was a guy, if I remember right, somehow drove off into the swamp, and the swamp kind of took over his body. It was a copy of Swamp Thing, which I think was a DC comic.
Okay.
And so Man Thing came along, and he was sort of the spirit of the swamp.
I have not heard of Man Thing. Maybe it's going to be Disney's next great Marvel movie.
Perhaps. Or again, it could be the Wilt Chamberlain, story, Man Thing.
Anyway, so our five greatest Lakers, we pretty much have the same five guys, except I have Baylor instead of Shaq, and that was tough. I mean, you could almost just roll dice and go between Shaq, Kobe, Magic. I think Magic is just a clear number one. Like you said, Kobe could move up in future years when they look back on his career.
Right.
20 seasons is a lot.
I don't think anybody's going to be doing that.
Not with one team.
Yeah, definitely with one team. He was nobody's going to be coming in as a high schooler any longer. I think LeBron's class was the last one that was able to do that. So nobody's going to be coming in at 18 and playing any longer. My honorable mentions, I had Wilt Chamberlain, Elgin Baylor, and James Worthy.
Okay.
Then while I was compiling this whole list, I was thinking, man, is there a better, if you look at another team's, top five and put one on the bench, is there any other team out there that could even compare it? Maybe if you look at the Celtics teams, you could. But man, this team the Lakers have just had so much talent.
Yeah, and it's
historical talent.
It's been amazing. My honorable mentions were Shaq, Wilt Chamberlain, and James Worthy. You could throw Byron Scott in there if you want to, and maybe even Jeremy Lin. It's early. Yeah. It's early for Lynn.
Right.
George Mikan. I mean, the first big guy in the NBA. One of the first stars. And he played for the Minneapolis Lakers.
So. Yeah, there's just a constant flow of talent coming out of there. Now, they're down right now.
Obviously.
And they've been down for a while, too. So you wonder what's changed. And, I think everybody knows what's changed with who's running the show over there now. And you look what Jerry West has done away from there, and you kind of see where maybe a lot of that ability to choose great talent was coming from.
Yeah, it could all be Jerry. Maybe that we should bump him up on our list from 5 to 3 or 4.
Well, just talking about it, I would put Phil Jackson in there as an honorable mention too, as a coach, of course.
Obviously. I mean, did he only play for the Knicks?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, as far as I know, he did. See, you know, that's the thing. There's so many of these. NBA is now really kind of reaching a maturity where there's several generations of players that are historically great that guys that are in their 40s have never seen play, have only ever heard. And the guys that we grew up being amazed watching play, those are how I guess maybe we looked at Bill Russell and John Havlicek and all these guys that were in the way back. So you got to wonder, will Michael Jordan be losing his luster? I saw things about how Kobe's better than Michael, and to me, that's just not going to happen. But 20 years down the road, when people haven't seen him, either of these guys play. Yeah, in the meantime, will somebody else have come along that elevates the game even further?
Yeah, and I think, honestly, if Jordan didn't retire that first time and go to baseball, they probably would have won 8 titles in a row.
Yeah.
You just got to think that that would have been the case for those Bulls teams. They were so dominant. And, you know, when Jordan came back at the end of that second season, he was gone. You could tell he was upset that they did not make it to the finals that year. I mean, I think he understood. He hadn't been playing for a year and a half.
And they had, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they had something to prove that next season when they won the 72 games. I think that was the year. I'm pretty sure that was the year they won the 72 games.
Those teams were just amazing. And in the heart of it all, a lot of time we get used to things, used to greatness. And I do think, though, that everybody watching, while they got used to seeing Michael Jordan dropping in 35, 40 points, having these amazing playoff performances, everybody understood they were watching greatness.
Nobody liked it, except unless you lived in Chicago.
Well, even as a Cleveland fan, I couldn't help but be amazed and admire and root for the guy, because you finally wanted to see somebody be unequivocally, that is the greatest guy, no questions out. There's all these arguments about, well, this era and that era. With what he did, it was great to see that was, you know, undisputably the greatest player that's ever played the game.
Anyway, speaking of our Cavs, they're going to be facing the Pistons in the first round of the playoffs this year. Is it a sweep, or does Detroit sneak a game?
I think Detroit will have one game, perhaps two, game three or maybe four. But I think this will sort of be an easy round for the Cavs.
Yeah, I think LeBron's going to want to get them out of the way just so they can rest before their second round game, which would be against either the Celtics or the Hawks. Probably the Celtics. I'm thinking the Celtics will win that series. The only team that gives me pause is probably Toronto. I think they can hang with the Cavs and maybe push it to 6 games, kind of like the Bulls did last year. But I think the Cavs should come out of the East easily.
Yeah, I agree with you. The Toronto backcourt, best in the East. So, yeah, I think it'll be conference finals, Toronto, Cavs, Cavs go into the finals, and you got to say it's going to be a repeat of last year.
Yeah.
Cavs against the Warriors, and with the Warriors playing even better, you got to wonder, can the Cavs even win a game?
I mean, is this a classic case of, you know, the Cavs just, they're good, but somebody's better, just like in the 80s and early 90s with the Mark Price and Brad Doherty teams running into the Bulls?
That's a good comparison. Except they're getting a little further than those guys did.
Yeah.
You know, one game further. Well,
that's only because Golden State's not in the same conference.
Yeah, right. But I got to wonder, though, if, you know, you look at, it's always been this way for, geez, not always, but the last 20 years since the Bulls run ended, haven't the West really dominated? I mean, there have been good teams that come out of the East and win, and champions out of the East, but the West is top to bottom always, well, has been a better conference.
Well, this year it's actually the first year that I can remember, and I haven't actually looked back, but it's been years since all the teams in the East are actually above 500 who made the playoffs. Uh-huh. In the West, I think Houston, which is the 8th seed, is 41-41. So they just, with that win last night, prevented having a team with a losing record in the playoffs out West. And, you know, it might be because Golden State was so dominant this year with the 73 wins, and San Antonio with 67 wins. Most of those wins are coming against Western Conference teams, and you're going to have, you know, the mediocre teams in the West be down a little bit. So you've got Houston at 41-41 as the 8th seed. Over in the East this year, Detroit's the 8th seed at 44-38. And if you look at seeds 3 through 6, all four teams have the same record at 48-34. So it was kind of a mishmash there going into the last game to see who was going to have the 3 seed, who was going to have the 6 seed. It could have been any one of those four teams. Miami ended up with the 3 seed. They'll be playing Charlotte in the first round. And Toronto, number 2, is playing Indiana. Even though the Cavs did lose to Detroit twice this season, I think they ended up with the best possible scenario, because the two teams that I think could scare Miami and Toronto, they would not face until the finals.
Right. Yeah, they did get a nice draw, and it's an easy drive up to Detroit.
Are you planning on going up to support the Cavs?
No, I don't know if I'll be able to make that one. Tickets might be easy to get.
Hey, have you gone to the Henry Ford Museum lately?
I have never been there.
And you're so close.
They tell me it's nice.
Yeah, I think that might be our summer vacation plan this year. Heading up Michigan way and going to the Henry Ford Museum. And maybe catching the Indians when they swing through Detroit to watch them take on the Tigers. And Rachel says there's a great children's museum in Ann Arbor.
It's a museum of children?
I don't know. She said it's very hands-on, so I hope so.
What are you doing to these children? I wouldn't go there.
Well,
it sounds very disturbing.
It's going to be up to her because, you know,
yeah,
she wears the long pants in the family.
Right.
Do you guys?
Well, you do have nice calves, though.
Thank you. That is one of my best features. Now that supporting all this weight that I've built up on top.
Well, you and me both, my man. But if you do come up this way, I have some more news from Northwest Ohio.
Oh, do tell.
Well, it comes from the restaurant report card by Channel 13, our ABC affiliate up here. And they went to go visit a restaurant that you might be familiar with.
Ipo,
on Door Street, near Bern. Ipo got 15 violations, and 6 of them were critical. These include a buildup of dirt inside the ice machine, no date marked on food items on the cooler, 8 chicken wings sitting out on the counter that was above 41 degrees. I don't know if that matters. a cut tomato and a shrimp sitting out as well. Vegetables above 41 degrees. The chicken wing was thrown away in the middle of the inspection. As was the cut tomato. But the shrimp they kept, apparently. When 13ABC called to ask to speak to the manager, the person who answered said, quote, "Sorry, we don't speak English. Sorry," end quote, and hung up the phone. So you could visit it for old time's sake, but half hour later, you're going to want to find yourself some facilities.
Are they saying 41 degrees Celsius or Fahrenheit? Because usually when shrimp and stuff is in a wok, it's much, much warmer than 41 degrees.
It must be Fahrenheit, though.
Well, I only have good memories of IPO calling there from our College Station apartment and them knowing my name and what I wanted even before I could say anything. They heard my I must have a very distinct voice. But
well, that's good because they probably wouldn't have understood you anyway, apparently, because it says they didn't speak English.
Have you seen any under new management signs there?
The manager's name is... no, they don't have the manager's name.
Well, you know, it's...
I remember it was Isaac before, wasn't it?
He was on the Love Boat.
Oh, sorry. I get those two confused all the time.
It is kind of funny, Matt, that that you bring that up, because the Chinese restaurant I go to now in Solon, where I work, they know me by name.
Oh, really?
And I'll walk in and she'll say, "Hello, Scott," and she'll phrase it almost like a question, even though she knows my name, because I've eaten there once a week for probably the past 7 years. I do mix up my order, though, unlike at IPO, where I would consistently order the chicken with garlic sauce, and they would give you that little wing.
Yes.
Which,
which apparently was a big mistake.
I don't know, but... I stayed at 120 pounds back then
yes.
for many years until I got my desk job. And I can only imagine, you know, maybe the IPO, it filled me up right.
Yes. And it left you quickly, so it didn't have time to soak in all that garlic sauce or whatever it was they had on there.
Well.
And we had to walk all the distance, too. But I'm with you. But once a week eating out at a place, that could be part of the reason why there's been a gain. I know for me, I've dropped 10 pounds and I'm still at 475 pounds. So 10 pounds off of me really doesn't look like much.
I mean, that's like
it's like I clip my nails.
It's hard to eat right when you're working in an office building, unless you're bringing your lunch in, which I refuse to do. It's too much work to pack a lunch every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd rather get out of the office for a little bit and go somewhere and socialize with my colleagues. So I am making a conscious effort, though, to eat healthier. That meant going to Mustard Seed yesterday and going to the salad bar instead of going to like Arby's or something, even though it is good mood food and they have the meats.
Do tell.
And then
what'd you get at Mustard Seed?
Just a salad. And and I bought some lovely peppermint soap that's all organic, because I'm on a kick with the skincare too.
You know, it really does come down to you are what you eat, and you also are what kind of toiletry product you do put on your skin. So see if you can send me up some of that peppermint soap. It'll be like Christmas all year round.
I'm gonna definitely do that. I was in Scottsdale, Arizona last week all week long, so obviously I had to eat out every meal, and I gained 7 pounds over the course of 1 week.
Oh my God, what were you eating?
Everything.
Well, all it is now is you're going to have a lot of momentum as you go forward, because you're starting at a higher point.
Exactly.
And so as you start dropping this weight, it's going to be like, whoa, it's just falling right off me, man.
Right. And, you know, I have the Fitbit to, you know, monitor my movement, even though I was glued to my chair for a 3-hour conference call earlier today, which I did not get credit for any steps during that call.
A 3-hour conference call? What are they hoping to accomplish? Put everybody to sleep? Oh, my Lord. I find after half hour, I start zoning out and I start making lists in my head of who I sat next to in third grade.
Or the five greatest Lakers.
Or the five greatest Lakers, which is really truly what I did do.
I could have been using that time, but I actually was paying attention during this whole call. Now, do you have an exercise routine?
In general, yes. It's thinking about doing it. And as I'm putting together, like I do have a routine where I go and I get my socks and then my and shorts and the shirt, and I get that all on. I get dressed and I'm putting my shoes on, and then I suddenly got to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
And that usually takes about 35, 45 minutes. And by that time, well, I got to get going to work. Or it's time to go back to sleep if it's a weekend or a Sunday.
Right.
So, you know, that's my workout routine right now. I was doing really well for a while. I did have a regular thing going, but I twisted my ankle, and then that took a while to heal. And then I twisted my other ankle, and then my back got kind of itchy. So, what am I going to do?
You don't want to put anyone else at risk in case that itchiness was contagious, and you don't want to get on anybody's equipment.
Right. It's the spot you just can't reach with your hand, you know? So I had to go all over the house and look for a back scratcher. And, you know, sometimes you find one and sometimes somebody moved it. And then your day's shot.
I've been trying to work out, with the Fitbit. I'd been doing pretty well, hitting my 10,000 step goal each day. And then when I went to Arizona last week, I kind of fell off the wagon, even though I did go on the treadmill in the hotel one night.
Accidentally. I just can't seem to get to my room. This is the longest hallway ever.
I went on it, and I was telling someone at the office that I had gone on the treadmill that morning. And they're like, Scott, we're actually in Arizona. You can go outside here. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I could have actually went on a nice run outside instead of waiting for the treadmill. But you can't really watch TV and run outside.
Yeah.
And that's what I do. I watch the TV. I have a whole DVR full of shows. The other night on the treadmill, I watched Game of Thrones.
I've heard about that. They have Elmo on it now, I hear.
Exactly. So I think that's probably going to wrap up our first podcast together as co-host for South Richfield. If you have any comments or topics you would like to hear us discuss, please email us at SouthRichfield@gmail.com or go to the SouthRichfield.com website or follow us on Twitter @SouthRichfield. Yeah.
Twitter, you say?
I have not tweeted anything on my South Richfield account in probably a year. It is up and running. I do watch it.
Well.
So you'll have to make sure you stop by. Leave your comments on this podcast on our Twitter feed. Get the word out to all your friends.
Well, I better get a Twitter account then, follow it.
I actually do think you need a Twitter account to follow other Twitter accounts, but I can't remember. It's been a while. I've had the South Richfield account for many, many years, and the SouthRichfield.com website for probably 15 years.
Back when you lived in South Richfield.
I had it before I lived in South Richfield.
You had it, you moved to South Richfield, and then you moved away. That's how old this thing is.
Anyway, well, thank you everyone for listening. We will hopefully talk to you guys next week. Keep it real, and keep listening to South Richfield Podcast. Good night, everyone.
Good night, folks.